Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, Harvey, what the hell is going on with that cleaning woman?
Robert.
You said you weren't going to pick a fight, and you did, and now our elevators aren't working.
You want to know what's going on? David Fox just retaliated against Anna by firing her, and I'm about to knock his teeth out.
You will do no such thing.
Relax, Robert. We can handle a clogged toilet or two.
Did you hear what I just said? I'm not talking about toilets. The man just shut down our elevators. And I'm not going to let us start losing clients because you decided the cleaning staff is more important than the needs of this firm.
And I didn't do anything that you didn't sign off on.
Bullshit. You said that you were going to have a two-minute conversation with the man. And if that's all you did, he wouldn't be sabotaging our offices.
Well, you know what, Robert? I don't care what he's doing to us. I care what he's doing to her.
What did you just say?
I said I don't care what he's doing to us.
Well, I do.
Excuse me?
You heard me, Harvey. I don't know what it is you think you're doing, but it needs to stop.
I don't believe this. You're siding with him.
Yes, Harvey, I am.
And you're not going to want to hear this either, Harvey, but I am too. Because if you keep escalating this, it's not just going to be about broken elevators. He's going to find a way to kick us out of the building.
Well, none of you are going to want to hear this, but I don't give a shit whether he kicks us out of the building or not.
That's enough. You don't go to war with the guy that owns your house over something like this. End it. And end it today.
Suits Season 8, Episode 3 is over. If you're ready to hear us talk about promises, then Suits yourself. I'm Rob Cestrino, back here with the guy who was just spotted coming out of the 48th floor bathroom with a very suspicious look on his face. It's Chappelle.
Rob, I hate landlords. Can we just get in front of that right now?
Sure.
Yeah, this landlord, Mr. Fox, well, I guess that's his name, whatever his name is. Yeah, he has destroyed the bathrooms, and he won't allow people to repair the elevators. He's a tyrant. I thought we were done with him in the,
he does, you know, the first half.
But he keeps coming back, right? And so, yeah, if I'm coming out of that restroom and I'm looking suspicious, it's probably because I'm looking for him. Me and him, he's at word.
Yeah. The landlord of this building does suck. Was not expecting to have so many Suits storylines involving the landlord of the office space that they have. But yet here we are as he's back. David Fox, the landlord of the building that Zane Spectre lit, takes up its office space at. But we also have, in addition to this storyline about Harvey needing to help out the cleaning lady, we also had a lot of Alex Williams versus Samantha and Katrina's quest to become senior partner here in our third episode of season 8. Excited to say, after a few days of not recording the podcast, we were a few days ahead, we are now almost basically live.
Yeah, basically live. I like this a lot. Yeah. I like being back on track. You know, getting them recorded ahead of time is fun because then it allows us to move around a little bit. But, you know, we really don't get that real in the moment feedback that we like. Right. Yeah. We don't get to address all the questions and concerns when we get them. And so we have to kind of go back, read it. remember our thoughts about the episode when we recorded it. And so I'm sure there's a lot we need to address on this episode too.
Okay, so yeah, so we will have a lot of housekeeping coming up later on. We'll get into everything, all the liddies from season 7, a lot of your feedback that's come in over the last couple of days as we start to work through that over the next couple episodes. But here we are, Chappelle, and what stood out in this episode for you?
Katherine Heigl. You know, she's fun to be back. You know, like I said, I haven't really watched a lot of shows with her in it or movies with her in it since she left Grey's Anatomy. I've seen maybe like 3 or 4 things probably. But having her back here has been interesting because they're making her someone who we're being told we're supposed to be rooting for, but they haven't given us a lot of redeeming qualities for her. It's like at the end of every episode, it feels like she has to go and explain her own humanity to people. Like, no, I'm not awful. I'm not horrible. But we keep seeing different sides of her and it's subtle, but I appreciate it. I appreciate that first of all, she's always wearing white. I haven't figured out why. Mm-hmm. But she looks so good in these episodes. I don't know if she was trying to give I think Lewis called her Brigitte Nielsen at some point. I don't know if that's the vibe she's going for, if it's more like what's the movie with the woman who she crosses her legs? You know what I'm talking
about? Basic Instinct.
Like, I don't know if she's trying to give off like a vibe of like a very like stone cold, but she really leaned into her sex appeal in this episode too. She kind of flirted with Lewis. We just hadn't seen that. And so I'm liking the layers that we're getting from Samantha. Are you a fan of this character so far?
I'm okay on Samantha. I mean, I thought that was pretty impressive that she was going to sign Delta frickin' Airlines. Right. And I couldn't believe that we fumbled the bag and didn't sign Delta so that we could sign what? Starboard Airlines? What are we doing?
Right. Well, she's trying to keep Alex from, you know, hurting himself. She talked to him in the last episode. She said, Alex, I see that you're about to go sign my old client. I'm telling you, there's a reason why we left them where they were. The whole premise of this client was that when the merge happened, Zane Spectre Lit, Robert Zane left that client behind. And Alex thought, oh, if I go get it, then he will like me more. But Samantha comes and says, like, hey, if I'm his right-hand man and I left my client behind, you don't think there's a good reason for that? Alex says, I need specifics. She's like, how about you with your criminal background?
Right.
Or you're, you know, you shouldn't do this anyway. And he's like, give me some specifics or get out. And eventually she just leaves. I did think she should have gave him specifics. But I guess in this episode, she explains that prior to this, she wouldn't have expected him to keep that a secret or to not use it against her. So we find out that, yeah, this guy sucks. He has Alex trying to launder money by getting this Renoir painting. He's a big fat liar. He just makes up stories and stuff.
And they could have had Delta.
And they could have had Delta. And she dropped it for Alex. You know, like, that's what I'm saying. Samantha's got layers. I think that it at first it kind of made me feel like, oh, she's going to be a foil. But I think she'd be a valuable member of the team if we could ever get past the rivalry between her and Alex.
I don't know. I think this is all a play because then when Robert Zane sits down in the meeting and says, okay, what happened to Delta? Like, well, conflict of interest.
Alex's fault.
Alex had to pick up Starboard Airlines.
Yep. Yeah. And you're right, Rob. This is still a battle to see whose name gets on the wall first. And if you don't think this is a mark against Alex, you're crazy. Mm-hmm. It might also be a mark against Samantha because why did you fold so easy? But at the end of the day, one of them has to come out on top. Harvey and Robert Zane are like, I don't want to talk about it today. So we'll let them kill each other. And then whoever survives will be the one that, you know, that we'll put on the wall.
Yeah.
But yeah, this could definitely be a play from Samantha to make Alex look incompetent or to talk about all the billables that they lost because they lost a ton of them in this episode.
Is Alex Williams incompetent? I mean, I feel like this is like the second time in a row in these cases that he did do an end around on Starboard Airlines and then seemingly got out of it. But the guy keeps like stepping in it.
Right. And I can't tell if it's his fault or if you're right. If it's something about Alex that is just not hitting the mark for me as a lawyer, because from out of the gate, we have seen Alex coming in and telling Harvey, you owe me. And Harvey has betrayed him. He does not get what he was owed, you know. And so he spends that entire season kind of working in a deficit, right? Like, I was supposed to be a named partner. You told me that I was coming in at a certain level and I'm not. And now I'm sitting here fighting for my life. They're trying to pin a murder on me. You know, like, he's had a bunch of obstacles. But some of these obstacles are self-inflicted, you know? he was trying to take on Samantha in the war. They have a battle going on amongst themselves. And Lewis was the one who told him, well, why don't you go impress Robert Zane? Mm-hmm. I think Alex's problem is once he decides he's going to do something, there's no swaying him, right? Like, you go to him, you say, no, Alex, that's not a good thing. He's like, oh, nope, I'm doing it anyway. I'm doing it anyway. And everyone's like, I really can't tell you why. Wink, wink. But mm-hmm. you should not be doing the thing. Wink, wink, cough, cough. Catch the drift. And he's like, no, I don't care. Like, it's like he's very confident in his own abilities to where there's no obstacle that you could throw at him in his mind that would slow him down until he runs into the obstacle and he comes to you like, what the hell, man? Y'all weren't going to tell me about this? Like, well, everybody else knew, Alex. I'm sorry that you're late to the party.
Yeah. All right. Well, Alex, he does get told at the end of the episode by Samantha about, like, well, I just want you know, like, I'm not in competition with you because I've already been promised that I'm going to be. So just I'm like, I would not like sink to your level and compete with you, just so you know.
Yeah. And which just sucks, right? Like, Alex, I'm telling you, who is the bigger, like, of all the cast members, Alex is taking the biggest L's, right? He has come in with the promise to be named partner at some point, and at no point has it lined up with any of his expectations. Like, he was almost better off at his old job, even though they were trying to frame him for murder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hasn't gone great for Alex Williams so far. Let's talk about this storyline with Harvey and the cleaning lady. We've never seen any of the maintenance crew of the building ever before. Harvey runs into the cleaning lady in the bathroom, and then she's upset, and Harvey starts talking to her, and we find out that there's an issue with her back pay, and her mom needs an operation, and so Harvey ends up having this relationship with her where he's going to try to help get her money. She has a really interesting run-in with Harvey the second time, and she comes into his office and he's like, oh yeah, yeah, I remember you, like, of course, like, yeah, Harvey, you just talked to her yesterday.
It was last night.
Yeah,
it was literally last night. You, like, saw me in the bathroom. It's
like, hey, do you remember me from a year ago? Like, it's like, yeah, we talked yesterday. And so Harvey is going on her behalf and is really just, everybody's like, Harvey, leave this alone, don't do this.
Mm-hmm. Because Harvey wants to fight with the landlord to make this woman's life easier. So she's like, I need money for my mom's medical bills or something of that nature. And Harvey said, cool, why don't you just work overtime? She said, well, did that already, but I can't get overtime because I'm a manager. And that means I'm salaried and that they don't give me extra extra hours. So Harvey's like, okay, well, you know, just go tell your landlord you need the money. She's like, hey, come on, man. Like, my boss is not going to pay me more. I can't get overtime. I just need, like, honestly, she didn't really even come to him for help. He walked in on her crying, and then the next day she came back and was like, well, since you're a lawyer, is there anything I can do? Harvey agrees that this is probably a bad idea. Fighting with the landlord over the salary of a person that does not, that is not your client in a building that you live in or work in is not a good idea. But he says, I will go talk to him. If I talk to him and it doesn't work out, I'll report back my findings. Right. It'll be easy. Easy peasy. Nothing to worry about there. But Harvey, he's talking to Mr. Fox and they're kind of going back and forth, jabbing. That one jab hit Harvey a little too hard when he's like, well, Harvey, if you care so much, why don't you give her money out your own pocket? Mm-hmm. Harvey said, no, I'm going to give her money out your pocket and I'm going to give everybody else money out your pocket. Like, okay, Harvey, just calm down. But at that point, he's all teed
too late.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm surprised he didn't threaten to punch the dude in the face.
Yeah, I think he said he might have gone over there and do that at one point. He's like, all right, that's it. Everybody off, drop your cases. We're going, like, Harvey, what are you doing?
He hasn't had a good fight in a minute. You know, he's been the managing partner for a little bit and he hasn't been in the trenches. And so he needs to get back in the game. But fighting with the landlord is a bad idea. Also, big Mike Ross vibes here from Harvey. Yeah. You know, eventually Donna calls him out on it, but everybody's saying, Harvey, do not do this. Harvey, do not do this. Harvey, this is a bad idea. And Harvey just going, I don't care. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like Mike Ross walking back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, walked back. Harvey, at first he's like, okay, don't worry. I got this. I'm going to go down to the clinic. And he goes down to the clinic. He's like, where's Nathan? Where's Oliver? And where's Marissa? Did she ever come back from her dad's operation? Right.
Harvey doesn't know Marissa.
No, he doesn't. But they're not there. And he's like, that's it. I'll take matters into my own hands.
Yeah. And it's wild because There was a split second where I thought we might get Mike Ross in this episode. Did you think you could get a cameo from Mike Ross?
I kind of thought that we might because Don is like, well, why don't you call Mike? I was thinking, all right, that is a good idea.
Yeah, make Mike fight the case. I really thought he was going to be like, okay, I got my best guy on the case. It's Mike Ross. He'll handle it for you. Bada bing, bada boom. But no, we don't get a cameo from Mike Ross. And it felt odd to me because, you know, when Jessica, in quotations, left the show, we got a lot of Jessica. You know, she left and then we saw Jessica coming in. She's answering the phone. She's got her own side quest coming in for consultations and all kinds of stuff. Mike Ross is gone and I don't think we're ever going to see him again.
Yeah,
because this would have been an easy way to just like insert him back into the universe.
I do wonder now that we're in sort of like the Pearson verse, how much we will see Jessica.
Oh yeah, now that we're still in that limbo, like in that window between.
I don't think Pearson hasn't started airing yet, but I feel like that in the fiction of the show, she's in the Pearson world now. So I don't know. Like I feel like it'll be tough to try to get her like in Suits episodes.
I wonder if there's a lot of crossover too. Like I get that it is a spinoff, but yeah, I'm with you on that one because, you know, we've seen shows like this do this in the past, not to get back on Grey's Anatomy, but you know, they had Grey's Anatomy and Private Practice going on at the same time. We see, you know, later on the CW will do this with all of their, and I guess this is going on around this time too. The CW does it with all their superhero shows. You got The Flash and The Arrow and eventually Supergirl and all that stuff overlaps to where one character could walk out of one set and then onto another set and that storyline still be canon. And this is around the same time that was going on. So I wonder if they considered kind of having these like, what is it? Like a revolving door of characters that could go into either route. But I thought if they were going to do that, maybe Mike Ross would have been a good person to bring in for this moment, you know, or even Jessica. I mean, like, but if you're right, if they're waiting to set up Pearson as its own thing, then yeah, we probably won't get a lot more Jessica either in this season.
Okay, well, let's talk about what's going on with Lewis and Katrina, where Lewis goes to talk to Robert Zane and tells him about how that he had promised Katrina to be a senior partner. And, you know, like managing or like a name partner, senior partner. Like I thought for a second, like, hold on, are we going to have like Katrina also in the running here with Samantha Wheeler and Alex Williams? No, she's like a step down. She's just going to be part of like the senior partners. And there used to be like 40 of these guys running around at the old like Pearson Hardman. And so Katrina, she wants this. And so Robert Zane doesn't really think that she is a manager.
Well, he's just like, I've never seen it. You know, the whole criticism against Katrina in the last episodes where Katrina's so robotic, you know, she doesn't care about the people. It's all about the numbers for her. She hasn't connected with these people. She's cold. Okay, well, doesn't sound like a great manager if she's not able to manage the actual people that she works with. You could be good at, you know, the research part or even the trial portion, but if you are going to be managing the other associates and, you know, people in the firm, you got to be good with the people. And so he's like, show me something. Lewis even asks, like, tell me what she got to do to prove herself. And so they come up with this plan where she needs to supervise Brian, but out of nowhere, we find out that the stress of firing all these associates was so much for Katrina that now she's getting ocular migraines and it's so bad to where she can't even show up to work sometimes. And I feel like this came out of nowhere. We've never seen or had any inkling of Katrina being that stressed out about work at all. And firing that one woman broke her. Well, I guess she fired a group of people, but we saw that scene where she fired that lady, Bridget, and it doesn't look like she bounces back from that episode.
Yeah, I mean, I do get some migraines. It doesn't sound like as bad as like what Katrina deals with, but it sounds like this is something that has really she had at one point and it has sort of like come back all of a sudden when she had to fire those people.
And it was stressful.
And so she's trying to deal with that. And Brian, I think also in this post Mike Ross world has been given like a bigger role here, both at Zane Spectre Lit and on Suits. And he has to step up and the client does not like dealing with Brian.
Do you like Brian?
I think he's fine. Like I kind of like that he's like kind of a screw up in the associate pool.
Yeah, is he the
he's like our new Harold?
Yeah, I was gonna say, is he the lowest ranking member of the cast for you right now?
In terms of like proficiency with the law?
No, just in general. Like, who do you care least about?
Yeah, I mean, I like having like a pool of characters that we deal with like in the office. That it's not just like five people doing like all this work. So I like that we know the names of a couple of these associates. It's been a minute since we had that.
Yeah, I think we spent so much time showing how other people care about Brian that I wish the show made me care about Brian more.
Yeah.
Like Lewis is like, no, Brian will not be fired. He's family. I'm like, bring back Benjamin. Where's Benjamin? Hey, who's my family? You know, this is not my Benjamin. This is not my Brian.
Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out how I feel about him because Katrina in this episode obviously needs his help. He steps in when they're meeting with this client. And the client is like, you're incompetent. You don't know what you're doing. Where's Katrina? Bring me Katrina. Come to find out, Katrina's having these debilitating migraines, and she can't even make it to meet with the client sometimes. And so Brian ends up taking the L for her and really getting yelled at by Lewis. And, you know, it's like sometimes Lewis, and I'm thinking he's growing up and he's not doing the same old Lewis stuff. But, I mean, he really laid into Brian. And so I'm thinking, do I care about Brian? Like, I really wanted to feel bad for him. I more was annoyed at Lewis for going back to some of his old tricks.
Yeah, well, Brian ultimately works with Katrina and pulls it together. And so Katrina is at least moving forward as a manager.
But she's still having the migraines. You know, that's the one thing that, you know, I saw by the end of the episode, they didn't really resolve it. It was more like Brian said, okay, well, I'll help you out. When she was in high school, I guess she used to do the same thing. And she had a best friend who would help her study and by flashlight because she would get these crazy migraines with the light. And I guess it would be the stress of studying and stuff. But I imagine law is very stressful. You know, I've called for a bunch of people to go to therapy, but I'm thinking Katrina might need to step into the room and get some stress relieving
techniques.
What's
Dr. Lipschitz's schedule like these days?
Yeah, Dr. Lipschitz and not Harvey's ex-girlfriend. she was awful. But yeah, I just feel like if you want to be a managing partner or a senior partner at some point or whatever the case may be, you really got to get this migraine thing under control because you can't just not go to court because the lights are on, you know? Mm-hmm. And she's walking around with these big glasses on, like it's like she has a hangover. I have cousins who get these things. They are crazy migraines. Like those yeah. like really back of the head migraines where you just can't see nothing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't even imagine it. So hopefully Katrina gets it under control, or I think she might struggle with becoming a senior partner.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Chappelle, let's talk about the Liddy here in this episode. Donna does end up resolving things for Harvey. She goes down and Harvey puts her in a place where, okay, Donna, you go down there. You go talk to this guy because I can't have another interaction with him. She ends up giving this guy, what, a year of free legal service?
From Harvey, yeah, specifically. She identifies that Harvey and Landlord are in a pissing match and that neither one of them is going to give up until they have pissed on the other person. And so she's like, I got to give him something. And Harvey gave her carte blanche to do whatever she wanted. So she says, okay, we let all this go. Pay Anna what she's worth, which is crazy, which is a crazy question for like an employer to be like, you owe them more money. Go pay them what they're worth. She's like, this man is not paying the janitorial staff what they're worth. That's the whole point of capitalism. It doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. But whatever. You can get some free legal services from Harvey. And all I kept thinking was, dear God, that means we got to see more of the landlord. Like, he's coming back. He's coming back with some huge case.
Yeah.
But she made it happen. And she also was the one that helped Harvey realize that he was just acting like a big brat because he missed Mike Ross. Mike Ross would have been throwing this same exact fit in this episode about this janitor. He would have been completely disobedient about it and just... no, I'm not. I'm sorry. I have to fight for this. No one else is going to fight for this. He would have got the clinic up. Like, this is a Mike Ross storyline that they had left over from season six before they knew he was going to quit. And so, yeah, they had to give it to Harvey. Donna helps him realize it. I think Donna might be, she might have been my favorite one from the day. I'd be good with Donna getting the lead.
Okay. Did you buy that Harvey would be acting out because he misses Mike Ross and then be doing Mike Ross things?
I do, but not for the reason why they say it. So they are making it seem like subconsciously he needs Mike around, and this is like the residual actions of that, like of him missing it, right? So he's acting out. But I kind of get it as Harvey and Mike Ross, they always went into battle together. They always had the fights. And normal legal stuff is kind of boring to Harvey. You know, I think following the rules is boring to Harvey. Him coming in and saying, hey, you know, why don't you just do this, 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 and this, and I think everything will be okay. And someone's saying yes, that does not get Harvey's like blood pumping. But the idea that all the rules are against him and everyone's telling him, no, no, you can't do this. And him and Mike Ross putting their head together and going back and forth and arguing and then coming up with the solution, the big aha moment. I think that's what he lives for. Again, he lives his life up here, Rob. Mm-hmm. Right now, his life has kind of been down here, you know? Yeah. And so I think he just missed the excitement of a Mike Ross type pushing him to do wild things. So it didn't bother me as much. I just don't, you know, I just didn't really get the know. It's just like the subconscious idea that Mike is gone. So he just doesn't know what to do with his body. I don't think that's not landing for me. It doesn't sound like it's landing for you either.
No, I just seemed like that he would like act this way because he misses Mike. I don't know. Is that a thing that people like, if you're missing somebody, do you like do the types of things that they would do? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't know. And also, Harvey's like 50. You know, grow up, Harvey. You know, if you're a child, fine. If you're even in your teens, or early 20s, but you're 50 years old. You lived a good chunk of your life without Mike Ross. I think you'd be okay.
You'd be okay. Okay. All right. Only reference in this episode is, as you mentioned, Lewis talks about when he's dealing with Samantha, that he says that she's like a Brigitte Nielsen type. But first interaction that we get to see between Lewis and Samantha Wheeler, he's like surprised, like, oh, you've heard of me? Like, I mean, it's literally like Zane Spector lit.
Yeah. We had talked about it too, that Lewis and Samantha had never been on screen together before either. And so I always wondered what that interaction would be, because she's so abrasive with everybody else. Like every time Samantha walks into a room with anybody else, there's sparks, and not like in a chemistry way. It's more like you could like iron sharpening iron, you know, the two things are very sharp. So they are sparking. Right. So you got Donna and her kind of sparring, but not hitting, you know, it's like everything comes in is very tense. But with Lewis and Samantha, it was a different feel. It was still very tense, but it's like instead of going into a shouting match with him or trying to, you know, one-up him, she really leaned into, oh, no, Lewis, I'm very attractive, and you're going to acknowledge it. And Lewis typically does not go for that kind of thing. He's normally like, no, I'm good, thanks. Mm-hmm. But this time, and especially now that he's like madly in love with Sheila.
Well, I think he's intimidated, you know, a little bit also.
Yeah, but I think that it was cool because we've never seen anybody pull a move like that on Lewis in this entire time. And so I was just like, man, this interaction could be fun moving forward. I wonder how much, like, if they would make a good team, the two of them. She also made him go probably back to the mud to handle some business. You know, he had to run off. It's very fast.
Okay. Well, let's talk about some of the looking back at season 7. Of course, our senior partner, Patty, has sent us the updated Liddy Awards for season 7. We got the full tally on everything. We do have a winner for season 7 with 5 Liddy Awards coming out of season 7. Chappelle, do you have a guess of who it was?
Season 7. Mike Ross?
It was Lewis.
Lewis lit.
Lewis.
Yeah,
actually,
okay.
Harvey had maybe his worst season of Liddy Awards. Actually, he only got one in season 5. He really cleaned up in season 1 and season 4. Harvey only had one Liddy Award. Mike has 3 in his final season. Rachel also had 3. One for Jessica, one for Robert Zane, one for Gretchen. So when we look at the all-time leaderboard, Harvey is at first place with 23, just ahead of Jessica and Mike, who are no longer series regulars on the show. Lewis is in fourth place. He has 15, an outside shot, I would say, at passing both Mike and Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
And Rachel has 14.
Yeah. I think Lewis could make a run for a second place here, which would be cool. I mean, he has season 8 and season 9 to make that happen without Jessica and Mike being in the running to stop them. So as long as Robert Zane, Samantha, or this new guy, whatever his name is, Craig from Degrassi, if it hung, as long as they don't, you know, just really step it up. Yeah, him. As long as they don't really step it up, then Lewis might have a good little run for the second place award. Also, according to Patty, as of season 8, episode 2, Lewis has set the record for the most consecutive Liddy Awards at 5. He got 5 in a row.
Okay.
So come back.
Nice job. Okay, this is the 111th episode of Suits. So by my math, I believe we have 23 more episodes to go here in the series. So it's still some room for Lewis to play around and rack up some Liddy Awards. Then, just in terms of the other things that we track here on this show, we did not give out a can opener award in season 7.
I think we're done with the can opener.
You think so?
I think it might have retired. I think it's gone. I think Mike Ross took it with him. You know, I was looking at the ratings for the episode. Ash Pereira in the Facebook group has been crunching the numbers and the ratings on the episode ratings on IMDb. And the average ratings basically have like, it's been around like average rating about 8, 8.5, you know, somewhere in there. But season 5, I think, was the high mark. And then it's been a down a decline from season 5, season 6, and now season 7 being I believe the lowest rating season of all of them.
In season 8?
Up to season 7. We haven't gotten through the season 8 data yet. But yeah, with season 7 being so low, I'm wondering if the show is, you know, we talked about it jumping the shark, but season 5 is seemingly marking the decline of the show's quality as far as the ratings go. So maybe it had 0 episodes. Yeah. Season 7.
We're on the back 9.
Rated, 0 episodes rated 9 or higher in season 7. And so you got to get rated a 9 or something like that to get a can opener, I'm assuming. And so maybe we're done with the can opener. It was a fun bit, though.
So of the things that we do track, there is one thing in particular that season 7 really jumped out. Season 7 had the most F-bombs in the series, 14 F-bombs in season 7.
Yeah, I'd say around like 1.5 an episode for sure. Season 8 is probably going to hit that as well, just based off of the episodes we've seen. I've seen at least one F-bomb in each one of those. I'm still not quite sure how USA was dropping the F-bomb in the middle of the, you know, primetime television like this. You know,
I
mean, I guess it's a different time, but was this happening on TV? Or they had to bleeped it, right? There's no way they were dropping the F-bomb on USA.
I'm not sure. I don't know really what the rules are and that sort of thing. Okay. All right. Let's take some feedback questions around this and some previous episodes. Angela Taylor said that Katrina couldn't text an explanation to Brian and ask him to explain to the client and reschedule instead of hanging Brian out to dry. It might have been like such a bad migraine she couldn't have looked at her phone.
My cousin, when he has his migraines, he cannot open his eyes. You know, like it's just there's nothing. If he opened his eyes, he's in excruciating pain. I've seen these things happen in real life, and so I am very sympathetic to Katrina. I just wish it hadn't happened to Katrina. It's like that the storyline for her is going to be the fight to see your partner, and now her own body is betraying her. Stress is a mother.
Maybe in 2023 she could have like said Alexa, text Brian, tell him I'm running late.
Yeah,
or I the mean, Donna.
What is this in 2018? Show is
August
airing,
1st, 2018 is this episode.
So to be fair to the question, yeah, she could have definitely texted because she could have just said it. But maybe again, this migraine was up in her ass.
All right, David also wrote in to say, ignoring his momentary blow up on Brian, is Lewis the best named partner at the moment? Just think about how far he's come. Maybe we didn't know it, but the Liddy is actually most improved award.
I still think Robert Zane probably first. You know, he rules with an iron fist. He does a little arguing back and forth with Harvey every now and then, but at the end of the day, he's always like,
yeah,
but I said you're going to do this thing, so goodbye.
Chappelle, are we like foreshadowing like is Robert Zane gonna die? I mean, that Whoa. We had where
what,
like
what, he, what?
He like what, like he looked like hell and like Robert, what happened? Like I had to walk up the stairs. The elevator was broken. Like it's like it was only five flights. Well, it was. We saw him then with like he looked like hell and it's like what happened? Like oh, I could try to keep up with Harvey. I'm hungover. Like yeah. like we're seeing like Robert Zane. I feel like kind of disheveled.
He is disheveled. I didn't think death was upon us.
Like, but, is he headed towards, like, is he going to, like, have, like, need to take a beat for, like, his health?
I don't know. We've never been this, I guess we've never been this close to Robert Zane for this long a period of time. But even in the past episodes, it always, there was always, like, my wife won't let me eat this. You know, mm-hmm. this is bad for me. You know, like, so they've always play with the idea that Robert Zane had it might have some pre-existing health conditions or something that we might need to be worried about. Mm-hmm. But I, like I said, I, if they're foreshadowing it, it went over my head. I didn't catch it.
Okay. All right. Have we talked at all about the new opening credits? We got some feedback. Thoughts on the new opening credits? I like the idea of everyone being a part of it, but I like the original one better, especially because of the colors. I think less is more.
Yeah, there's way more colors in this one. It's, I mean, teal, and there's like this gold, and it comes in mm-hmm. with green when Katherine Heigl shows up. There's a lot of bright lights. It's a lot of shine. It's very shiny, but I think they're trying to do, like, this is your the sexy Pearson Spectre lit, Zane Spectre lit, whatever it is right now. It gives like a nightclub feel almost. You mm-hmm. know, you see like the glass with the whiskey in it, and just it's very sleek. As opposed to the first one, which was like Mike and Harvey, you know, trying to get to know your two main characters. Well, I think we have more of an ensemble cast now, and they're really trying to highlight each of them, as opposed to it being the Mike and Harvey story, which they leaned on for so much of the first half of the season. I mean, of the series.
Okay. Chappelle, let's go back to season 7 and talk a little bit more about some of the fallout from the finale. This is from Kat, who says, according to an interview with The Hollywood Reporter, Patrick J. Adams left on his own accord at the end of his contract. That this is what Patrick J. Adams had to say about his decision to leave. I started thinking about leaving at the end of the first half of season 6 after Mike got released from the prison. From a story point of view, I was a little unsure of what was left for him to do. And he says, if he hangs out longer, Mike is just going to be another lawyer on television. Series creator Aaron Korsh told the BBC he planned to write Meghan Markle off the show before she officially decided to leave,
Uh-oh.
Anticipating her relationship with Harry would be successful. He's quoted as saying, it's much easier to undo that if it came to it than to just plan on her staying forever and finding out she's going to go. Her contract was also up at the end of the season, so it seems like it was a mutual decision.
Mm-hmm. I agree with Patrick J. Adams that when Mike got out of prison, it's like, okay, now Mike Ross is a lawyer. Once they got him back, you know, into law. Now Mike Ross is a lawyer, and he's a very good lawyer because he has a photographic memory. But that's it. That he mm-hmm. is just a lawyer. You know, it was the intrigue of, do they get caught? They're breaking the law. You know, will someone find out? What if Harvard finds out that Mike is out here practicing law? You know, that was what made Suits fun from the character perspective for me, for Mike Ross. It wasn't that he could add a photographic memory. It was that we were always waiting on that other shoe to drop and for him to get arrested or for something to happen, somebody find out, somebody to snitch. So yeah, once he gets out of jail, it's kind of like, we've got a clean slate. He's now just Harvey's sidekick. And so they would have had to run basically two shows at the same time. They would have had to run Suits with Harvey and then Suits with Mike Ross at the clinic for it mm-hmm. to even make sense at some point. So I'm agreeing with him. It was time to go. I think this show might have ran a little bit too long. I think that's why we see the declining ratings after that moment too.
Chappelle, it's also happy 60th birthday to Wendell Pierce, according to Yay. The Facebook group.
She
happy birthday this weekend to Robert Zane.
Yes, 60. He looks good for 60. Even to, you know, this is obviously, we're watching this show after the fact, but, you know, seeing some recent photos of him, he's a nice looking guy. Go Robert Zane.
He looks the same always.
Yeah, always, mm-hmm. always. And so, and I love that for him.
Yeah, he's got the same look. Basically, he's, you know, has kept the goatee going through like decades.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember him in some of his earlier works, and it's always been like, it's very solid. It's a little grayer than it used to be, mm-hmm. but that's about it. That's the only difference.
Relatable, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Chappelle, what else should we touch on today?
Jonathan Shapiro was saying that he watched season 8, episode 2, and he's about to start the podcast, so, you know, he's catching up. But he's loving season 8 so far. It's off to a great start, and that the departure of Mike Ross and Rachel Zane has reinvigorated the creative energy of the show. And I'd agree with that a lot, actually. I think that when you remove Mike and Rachel, it allows these other players to have character moments, too, that aren't revolving around Mike Ross's secret and Rachel and Mike's wedding, you know? And so now we get to see Donna in an executive role doing executive things that don't always lean up to her, like lead back to her going, okay, Mike, let me tell you what you need to do. You know, mm-hmm. it's like, let Donna be the one to tell the associates to go back to work. Cause she's the COO, you know, she's making these things happen. Same thing with us learning more about Katrina. God knows where Gretchen is.
Is she here?
Is she gone? Who knows? But yeah, I don't think we get as much Samantha, Alex, Donna, Katrina, if you still have Rachel and Mike hanging out. This gives us a little bit more wiggle room.
Mm-hmm. Here, let me bring in another one from the Facebook group. Gwyneth said, does anyone else find it weird that in season 7 of Suits, it hasn't once been Christmas time? The timeline is shaky at best. Mm-hmm. This seems odd to me. They go outside at nighttime a lot in the show. Never once has there been a strand of festive lights. The other day, I walked by the Bay Adelaide Center in Toronto, York, the building used as the PSL lobby set, and I counted 3 big Christmas trees. Has there ever been snow on the ground in this show? Thanks for the great coverage. Please cover something else once this is all over. We've gotten used to the daily Robin Chappelle fix. Yeah, Chappelle, not only has it not been Christmas, it's mm-hmm. never been any holiday.
Or weather. There's never been weather on Suits.
I think it rained when Mike and Rachel were breaking up one time.
Oh, yeah. Well,
very dramatic.
I guess the skies cried that day. Yeah, but aside from that, you know, I think this is a completely like correct like observation. It's never been any holidays. It does not snow.
They don't even have birthdays
in New York, right? No. Well, yeah, they do have birthdays. We know that no one's had a birthday, but we know that people have the birthdays set on their calendars. I heard Gretchen reference Lewis's birthday and Harvey's birthday. Remember, Gretchen was trying to figure out how old Harvey was.
Yeah, I think it Harvey or Donna was trying to buy a present for each other for the birthday.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, and so it was like, oh, Donna, you just buy the gift for yourself using my money. I think that's what she landed on. So yeah, the birthdays exist. We just never experienced them. We never experienced any holidays. And honestly, I think that might be a misstep too. So these shows that last a very long time. You can phone those episodes in. You know, they can just, like, they're almost not canon. You know, you could just, like, oh, yeah, put a Christmas tree up and make the whole episode about what Mike Ross' photographic memory says that he should get his third grade teacher for Christmas. You know, it's like, yeah. That would have been easy. So I don't know if they avoided that on purpose or what, but it's noticeable.
Yeah. But I think the problem with, like, a Christmas episode is, like, what do these people do, like, on Christmas? What is hard? Like, they work all the time. They're at work. Yeah. You know, the holiday is about closing the office.
Yeah, but I think that's fun when you have characters from different walks of life on one show, and then you can see multiple holidays. You know, mm-hmm. you can see, Christmas. We know, I believe Lewis is
PSL
Jewish,
Christmas so party, see, holiday party.
Yeah, that would be fun. Mm-hmm. And then even if you get through us a storyline in there about one of these people being a Scrooge, you know, not like Harvey. I mean, like somebody like Donna, you know, having like, oh, I had a tough past with my dad. I don't really celebrate Christmas. It's like, but Donna, we got to get you to understand the spirit of Christmas.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of Lewis celebrating Hanukkah. So on Renap this upcoming week, spoilers for Renap, we're going to be talking about a Hallmark original Hanukkah movie starring none other than our own beloved Rick Hoffman, Lewis.
Well, it's Hanukkah right now. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah. Yeah, but he's in the Hanukkah movie.
This should be fun. I can't wait to watch. What's it called?
It's called Round and Round. It's about I think it's a little bit like a Groundhog's Day type thing about the person keeps having to relive like a days of Hanukkah.
Oh, I mean, there's already a lot of days of Hanukkah. It sucks to have to keep doing that. Do you start over day one every time? How does it work? Can't wait to watch.
I don't know. 8 days of Hanukkah, season 8 of Suits. It's all happening. All right. Chappelle, anything else you want to cover today?
Nope, I think that's about it. Again, you all have been so patient with us in the Facebook group and stuff about, like, you know, whether or not we were getting the content to you. Remember, suitspodcast.com. If you ever get in your Spotify or your Apple feed, and for some reason we're having some technical difficulties, we can't find Benjamin, go to suitspodcast.com. It's most likely to be there, and you can get caught up on the episode right there until we get the technical difficulties fixed. But thank y'all for letting us know.
Yeah, we were having some issues on Spotify. I think that we resolved them now.
I'm sure everything's good, you know, but we were traveling. And so it was a lot of like, okay, let's try to make this happen. But we weren't really in pocket to fix it. But yeah, suitspodcast.com. I say it all the time. That is where you can go directly to. And you can listen to the feed right there on the podcast page. Rob is so clever. So check that out if you ever have any issues accessing it on your podcatcher of your choice.
All right. And Chappelle, where can people keep up with you?
At Chappelle's underscore show. Or follow me on Instagram at Chappelle TNT, and you might be able to see some of my clips from New Orleans. That was fun.
Okay. All right. I'm at Rob Cesternino. Looking forward to hearing everything you have to say. Keep that feedback coming at suitspodcast.com/feedback. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say. Your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.